Improve it, peeps. Welcome to today's show. I am so excited that you are here. If you're new to the Improve It podcast, I'm Erin Deal. I'm your host. I'm also the CEO or the Chief Edutainment Officer of the company I founded called Improve It, the same as this show. What do you know? We are a talent development company. We are improv infused, and we are here to help the greater collective and the new generation of work. We use improv comedy as the training tool to train professionals like yourself on soft skills. So that is the background on our show. That's the background on why we exist. Let me just give a little shout out to one of our, what we call Improve It peeps. So our Improve It peeps are a community that keep coming back here week after week to invest in themselves, learn, laugh, and have fun, and bring this information back to their teams. This review is from John R. Ulrich. And John says, creative and distinctive, short snippets of solid practical advice. Each time that I listen to the podcast, I learn something that I can incorporate into my and my team's daily routine. John, thank you so much for the review. If you're listening, send me an email at info@learntoimproveit.com and I will send you a signed copy of my book, I See You. If you have not left a review for this show, let me just get on my hands and knees and beg you one quick time. Will you please? Will you please leave a review? All you got to do is go to iTunes. I don't know why I just made that voice. But all you have to do is go to iTunes, scroll down to the bottom, hit 5 stars. You can leave a comment like John. But it means so much because it allows us to attract amazing guests like we have on the show today to the show. So if you're new, and if you're not new, I want you to remember that every month we have a theme for our show. And this month's theme is trust. I love the word trust. It's such a reminder to take a deep breath, to trust in ourselves, know that we have the answers. And once we start trusting in ourselves, know that others will follow suit. So this is something we talk about in our Thinking Quickly on Your Feet workshop. This is a workshop we do in person or virtually, but it's really all about trusting our gut, allowing ourselves to surrender to that trust. And if we can do that, then others will follow suit. And I got to tell you, what has really helped me lean into trusting myself is my own mindfulness practice. I speak a lot about my spirituality on this show, and it is no joke that literally I was guided to not only create this podcast from my mindfulness practice, but write the book that I wrote called I See You, A Leader's Guide to Energizing Your Team Through Radical Empathy. And truly, mindfulness has become a daily practice, and it's in that trust in my practice that I am able to continuously show up here week after week. So this conversation is today, let me just say that again, today's conversation is with the host of a podcast called the Men Talking Mindfulness Podcast. And it is hosted by a retired Navy SEAL turned mindfulness leader, John Macaskill, and a renowned NYC yoga teacher, Will Schneider. And it's a podcast dedicated to empowering men, especially, to embrace their true selves with bravery and authenticity. Their mission is to guide men on a journey of continual learning, developing self-love, and meaningful living. They work to inspire men to lead lives that they can look back on with pride and to create legacies that align with their deepest values. They are committed to cultivating spaces where vulnerability is strength, being yourself is the norm, and where every man can unleash their potential to live a life of exceptional impact and fulfillment. Oh, so, so good. If you click play on this show, it's because you want to make mindfulness a practice for all genders, especially the men in your life. You want tips and tricks to make mindfulness an everyday habit, or you're curious in what it means to be mindful and you want an entry point to starting a practice today. If this sounds like you, my friend, you've clicked play on the right show, and it's no coincidence that you found yourself here. Get a pen and paper and let's get to improving it with Will Snyder and John McAskill. Oh my God. Okay, improve it, peeps. Y'all are in for the best treat ever. I have two of the funniest, silliest guys I've ever chatted with on the podcast airwaves ever. Welcome, John and Will, from the Men Talking Mindfulness podcast to the Improve It podcast.
Oh, boom. We're here. We're excited to be here with you, Aaron. Yeah, thanks for having us. Aaron.
Boom. And Will, excited. We got John. So, John, let everybody know your voice. Say, this is John.
Hey, everyone. This is John.
This is John. There it is. That's just like an interview, you know, like the intro for like at a radio show. Like, this is John and you're listening to the Improve It podcast. But that's John. Will, welcome to the show. Let everybody just tell everybody just a quick fun fact about you so they can get to know your voice real quick.
Hey, this is Will Schneider, and I live in the Big Apple. I have a friend that calls it the Rotten Apple, but have whatever apple you want. I live in the Apple here in New York City.
I love it. Okay. Well,
oh, yeah, I didn't get a chance to tell anything interesting about myself.
Interesting about you, John.
Tell me a fact.
Come on, Aaron.
Tell me a fact about you, John. Are you the one that calls it the rotten apple? Are you that friend?
I'm not, okay. But I probably should. But no, I have three accessory nipples.
Really?
See, I just caught Will off guard.
Like, I've seen him with his shirt off. I didn't see any extra nipples.
They don't look like nipples.
I don't think I've ever been speechless a day in my life, and I was not expecting. Say more, John. Say more.
Yeah. They're just three little, it looks like little freckles, but there's hairs growing out of them. I keep them shaved, so you can't tell. Look at Will's disgusted face.
Wow. They're on your chest?
I'll show you next time we hang out at the bathhouse in New York.
There you go. I was going to say, you got to be shirtless for that God. One. Okay. Improve it, peace. I told you all, y'all are in for it. This is amazing already. And we had so much fun. I was a guest on their show, so you got to check that out. And we talked a lot about the leader peoples. So our Improve It peeps are the leader peoples. That's who's listening to this show, the leader peoples. So we always have an intention every month on this show, and this is going to be airing in October, and our intention is trust. Okay, so for both of you, I would like us just for a moment to take a deep breath. Let's get our little mindfulness moment in right now. Take a deep breath and let's set a one word intention for our time together today. So, okay, Will, what is an intention that comes to mind for you to give our audience or just for this conversation in general?
My one word intention, awaken.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Why awaken?
We're here and this is our job. This is what our mission, John, to awaken people up to how incredibly profound mindfulness is if you begin to practice and adopt it as a lifestyle.
I love it. Okay, John. What's your word?
Presence.
Ooh.
And that's my word because that's what I believe mindfulness is a way of being. And that is being in the moment, experiencing the moment, trying to not think about the future or the past, trying to feel and being okay with that feeling of the here and now. That's the positive, the negative, quote unquote negative, and everything that comes along in between those two. So that's my word, presence.
Love it. Awakening presence. That's what we'll do, a hyphen. Awakening hyphen your presence. Okay. I'm so here for that. Okay. Because I want to talk through this too, because we talk a lot about trust in the work we do at Improve It, right? You know, we use improv comedy and you kind of have to trust yourself in that moment, and you have to trust yourself. And in that moment, if you trust yourself, the audience or whoever you're speaking with, they will follow suit. So I'd love to hear from both of you. Like, if you were to talk about trust as it relates to mindfulness, what would you say trust means to you? We'll start with John. John, what would you say?
Yeah, I think trust and faith are related. And I think one of the things that I speak about regularly when I'm on stage is developing faith in yourself, which is exactly what we're talking about here, is developing trust in yourself. And I think that starts with things like positive affirmations. And I always tell a little story about how I had this really bad imposter syndrome when I was going to school. I went to school with the U.S. Naval Academy, and I was surrounded by these really high performers, and I felt that I wasn't one. And I had, like I said, that really deep imposter syndrome. And then I had an upperclassman pull me aside and tell me, "Hey, John, you can do better than this." And at that point, it was like a switch had been flipped in my mind. And I started to look myself in the mirror and tell myself that I was good enough, that I was smart enough, and that doggone it, people like me, right?
Yes.
The old SNL skit.
I hope that's where you were going. Thank you.
Exactly.
Good.
But as ridiculous as that sound as, and as ridiculous as old Stuart Smalley on SNL looked, there was a lot of value, or there is a lot of value, in looking yourself in the mirror and telling yourself that you can do hard things, that you can stand up on stage and do improv, that you can do a podcast completely unscripted, and you can do many other things. And developing that faith in your abilities, I believe, is tied to developing that trust in yourself.
Here's some snap for you, John. Here's for you. I love that. And I, you know what? Like, I love the Glennon Doyle reference. We can do hard things too, because it is so true. Sometimes we allow that story in our head, that imposter syndrome, to take suit, and we have the power to change that narrative. And I love the word faith and bringing that into the picture too. Okay. Yes. Will, over to you.
Yeah.
What would you say?
If I was answering the question first, I would have basically said what John said. But what you said, for the callback, right, to what you said earlier, how trust translates is super key. So if you begin to work and practice to develop that internal trust, right, which brings internal confidence and courage, right, where you begin to go to your source as you're the answer. You know what I mean? Granted, there's things out there that we need to know, and, you know, information that is important and practices and stuff like that, but you get to develop that trust within. And what you said earlier, in that trust paradigm, what you do and how you work with other, leader peoples and teams out there is, if I trust myself, when I walk into a room, whether it's like, you know, whatever I'm doing, and I have that feeling of trust, that internal self-trust, right, that begins to translate into everybody else, everywhere else. And that begins to foster more trust within my team, you know, all of my interactions. And that's how it works. I mean, it's such an inner game, all of this stuff, right? You can learn all the tools and the tactics and the conversations and like the little, you know, all the little nuances of, you know, mastering or being a manager. But if you begin to develop that internal compass, that internal emotional intelligence, and trust is a big one, everything else that you do, all those buttons that you begin to push, all those things that you do as a manager really begin to broadcast into people's hearts and minds instead of it just some falling flat.
Oh my God. I love it. This is okay. I want to talk about what you just hit on with buttons, figuratively, literally. My team and I, we always do a monthly intention setting. And yesterday we were talking about our intention for the month that we're in right now, which is September when we're recording this. And we talked about like how simple it is in our, how the concept of just hitting another button in our mind is so simple. Like, if you ever seen that movie Inside Out,
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. Yeah. Love it. Okay.
There's a new one out.
Right. Oh my gosh. My son is obsessed. It was so good. It made me cry. You know how they have the control panel in Riley's mind? Like, all they do is hit another button. And it controls her emotions. So like what you just mentioned is even relevant to that. Like, you have the power to hit another button. You just have to trust yourself to do that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful. Oh, okay. We have highs on this show. We have lows. Like, what I love about y'all is we're real silly, but like there's this real root to both of you, and it's so awesome. And I know the peeps on this show are going to freak. So here's the deal. I told people on my Instagram stories a couple weeks ago that y'all are coming on the show. And I said, we're talking about mindfulness and men. And so I have someone sent in a question, which they can do through SpeakPipe, the super cool app we use. So I'm going to play this question for you, and then we're going to break it down. You ready?
Ready.
There's often an emphasis on women having self-care and it being important that we have a lot going on. And while that can be said for men as well, how can we bring awareness to men's self-care and mindfulness?
And I know who this peep is. They're an awesome human. And, you know, on this show, we're like, let's all genders thrive, right? Male, female, non-binary, all the things. And we, I think a lot on our show specifically talk about women and our practices, because I don't know if you know this, yeah. I am a woman. I want to hear y'all's thoughts on this. So like, let's go to you first, Will. If you had 30 seconds, and this is, and then we'll, I'm going to give you more than that, but this is just a little fun game. If you had 30 seconds to tell this Improve It peep one strategy to bring awareness to men and mindfulness at work, what would it be? And here we go. I'm going to time us. Go.
So I'm just going to go with what I think the kind of the question is. So woman, you know, to man, or like, you know, worker to worker, is I would let people listen before you speak. That's what I'll say. You start listening more than you speak, right? You are going to get a lot of respect from other people, number one, because you're actually holding presence and making eye contact and really taking in what their feelings, which they're expressing through their words, right? And listening is going to help you to clue you into stuff that maybe you didn't know about. And it's going to help you be more productive, be more creative, ask better questions. So you, right, can just be more kick-ass at the job you're already doing. This goes for everybody, right?
Love. Okay, that was 38 That's seconds, okay. But you know what? You still nailed it. You still nailed it. And I got to tell you, I like the listening thing, because that is in improv and what we do. It's actually it's everything. Yeah. Like if you aren't listening on stage, you've ruined everything for yourself, for your scene partners, for the audience. Right. Like it's like the number one rule, right? So, okay, I love that 30-second deep dive. If you were to expand on that, John, can you take that and just give a little more context on your opinion with that too? Like, what would you say to yes, what we call an improv, yes and it? How could you yes and that?
Yeah, yes and. I would say acknowledge and accept. And specifically what I'm meaning there is that with a lot of men, we don't want to acknowledge our own feelings and emotions. And we can acknowledge and accept them. And then those around us can also do the same, acknowledge and accept that men are human beings as well. And we need a lot of that self-care that you've talked about on the show before. For women, men need it too. And that can include mindfulness and meditation, which is not the hippy-dippy woo-woo practice that so many of us as men perceive it as.
Yeah. Oh God, I love this so much. I got to tell you, again, this was coming out of a talk with our team. One of my team members is going through a tough time. And she said, you know, I really hate to admit this, but all of those breath work meditation things that people say work, they really do. And I was like, they really do. We've been telling you about this for years. But I love that you mentioned, we were talking specific about men, because I think that it's so important to highlight that in the workplace particularly. So what are some common misconceptions that people have about men when it comes to mindfulness and self-care?
Yeah, I'll jump in.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Whoever wants.
Well, I know Will, as a yoga instructor, I'm sure has seen this, that a lot of people in general, men, women, and everything in between, imagine that yoga is, or sorry, not yoga, but mindfulness is people, you know, sitting in the lotus position, chanting, and maybe even wearing yoga pants. And when you envision that, what do you envision? You envision mostly women. But that is something that, as I said before, men can tap into just as well. The misconception is that it is, like I said, it's for hippies, it's for monks, it's for weirdos. The other misconceptions is that it doesn't work, or that I'm too busy to do it. I don't have the time to do it. And those are really, they end up being excuses. And I've used them. I use them, you know, just to give a little bit of background here, Aaron, for your listeners. I was in the SEAL teams and I struggled badly with depression and anxiety. And a counselor recommended mindfulness and meditation to me, and I laughed in his face because I was one of those men or people with that misconception about mindfulness and meditation, is that it's not something that actually works, or that I'm too high a performer to do it. I've got too many things going on in my life. But then when I stopped and prioritized it, just like you said, it does actually work. There is science to it. And once I understood the science and I saw the data behind it, then I started practicing and it changed and quite literally saved my life. So I can't stress enough how important and how powerful these practices are.
I love that. And thank you for sharing that story, because I think that's a real story that people can latch onto and see themselves in. I don't know a lot of Navy SEALs, but the depression and the anxiety, like, that is real. A lot of people are suffering with that now more than ever. Mm-hmm. Will, what would you say to that? What common misconceptions do you say, especially in your practice, like, which is so cool, by
Thanks,
the way.
Yeah. And my yes and is that men have feelings too. Like, to be honest, like, a lot of, because of, you know, the way people were raised and the fathers they had, or the uncles and the brothers, and men, it can be very stoic. And, you know, we talk about it often on our show about why that happens, because, like, you know, emotions are considered weak, you know, but men have a lot. I mean, we all have a lot of feelings, and just because a man doesn't necessarily share his feelings so quickly, you know, in any group setting, like, you know, immediately, it doesn't mean like there's not a lot going on the inside. You know, men often, you know, they suffer quietly alone, and maybe they're not going to share their true feelings and stuff like that. But by coming back to what I said earlier, just listening and holding space and, you know, being kind, being compassionate, like, you can draw men forward. And like, when we begin to see men, I said awakening in the beginning, when you begin to, a man begins to awaken, like, whoa, it's amazing. When they begin to adopt more of this mindfulness lifestyle, or just begin to wake up to their deeper potential instead of just the prescription that they've been given and handed to by all the other men in their lives that raised them up until that point, like, there's an incredible expansion of emotional literacy, emotional intelligence. Like, you know, they're more present, they're more nurturing, they're more loving, they're more kind. You know, so it's like, men are just not all these stones and these stoics that, you know, emotionless people that I feel like sadly, like, now that's something else that I'm kind of speaking up against as well. It's like, we have feelings too. And it's like, it's okay for the men to have, they are listening to have, you know, to have those feelings and be with those feelings. And what we're also seeing with the work that we do, the meditation class that we offer, is there's a lot of emotional illiteracy for men and emotions, but this, we're slowly beginning to wake up, you know, to, oh, wow, I got this hole deeper inside of me that I've never really been able to be with. And when you really begin to sit with that, even more of their power and their presence and their potential begins to flourish.
I freaking love it. I mean, everyone needs to check out your meditation classes are online, right?
Yeah, we have a course coming up, the next one. Well, it'll be in October. Okay. Yeah, got it. Yeah, Men Talking Mindfulness. Yep, .com.
Love it. And we're going to put all that in the show notes too. You know, I'm so grateful that I met y'all. Like, truly, I have had the most fun on your show that I think I've ever had on a show. I'm just going to say that. I'm sorry, every other show.
Oh, my gosh.
But then it's like so nice, because I'm sitting here and I'm flipping the script, having you on ours and listening to your answers and your why. Because the last time it was, you were interviewing me, right? But like, I'm sitting here just receiving the beauty behind the mission of your show and your work and what you're doing and for the greater collective. It's so beautiful. And y'all should be so proud of what you're giving a voice to. It's so beautiful. So, and I know we have a lot of Improve It peeps that are male listeners. I hear from them. And I think that this is really going to speak to them. So thank you for sharing, just being vulnerable and open. We also, as you know, have the papal laters on this show, the later papal. And a lot of people are sitting in those HR seats, or they might lead a large team and they've got an organization that is sort of stagnant when it comes to mindfulness practices. Leadership, maybe at the top, is not showcasing that. Maybe they're putting on that mask and coming to work to be the worker person that they're supposed to be. But if you both could give a solution or just even a quick tip to somebody listening that could help them create a supportive environment that encourages men to engage in mindfulness practices without feeling stigmatized? Do you have any quick go-to thing that they could do to immediately take action to make this a safer space for men to be more vulnerable and open like you're doing right now?
Talk about football. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Just, without yeah. Suck it up.
Buffalo wings. Dip them in the dip. And
talk about food and beer. They'll be like, they're in heaven. Skin. Food. No, yeah. Just kidding. That's very, very sexist of me as a man. John, I'm going to kick that over to you to start.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I have seen is that, recent years, it has become more accepted. I mean, we see some of our pro football players doing it. I mean, we're speaking about football. You see some of our number one quarterbacks, some of our number one basketball players doing it. And it's starting to kind of be accepted. And it, I believe with males specifically, it starts as a performance enhancing practice. That's what happened with me, going back to my counselor who told me I should try it, and I laughed at him. He sold it to me as something that would improve my performance personally and professionally, mentally and physically. And as a type A personality, I was always looking for an edge, and that was, you know, what sold me. So when I talk to corporate teams, a lot of the C-suite, I mean just the way things are in a lot of the places that I work, a lot of the C-suite are predominantly men. And when I come into the C-suite, I sell it to them in that way. I'm like, hey, you know, your people are going to be more focused. They're going to be more productive. They're going to get into that flow state more often. And when I sell it to them that way, and I say sell it to them very intentionally, because in my mind, the other effects are more important. But what the C-suite cares about is that their people are productive and focused, and that they're creative and they're thinking clearly. And those are all great sides of mindfulness. And when a leader starts to practice it, maybe for that reason, maybe to enhance their performance, then it starts to get accepted by the middle management. And then when the middle management starts to practice, it trickles down to, you know, the worker bees. So when the leader people, and I got to explain where that comes from for those who didn't listen to our show.
Memorialized.
Yes, yes.
Will, right before we started recording, he tried to be very gender neutral in his conversation, I guess. And he said leader peoples, the people leaders, and Aaron and I just attacked and pounced on it. That's where that comes from. But that's the exact opposite of what you can do as a leader. You got to foster that psychological safety. And Aaron and I didn't do that with
we did.
Will. I'm ready.
But you might have felt like we kept calling it back. Like we were also like giving you love in that callback.
Yeah,
we
found my inner compass.
Oh, okay. Well, John. Yeah. And you know what? We're going to put the link to that show in the show notes. Everyone needs to listen to it. It was very joyful. Like I had so much joy.
Thank you.
It was so joyful. I want to talk about this, and then Will, if you want to chime in on this.
Can I do one thing, Aaron? If I could just do one thing, what John said, I think, and what you're talking about as far as instantaneous in the office is like one thing I'll say is like create an environment where everybody, especially men, have the ability to take risks and fail and be honored for taking risks and fail versus like always trying to get the answer right, you know, and therefore never really bringing forth the creativity to really solve a problem. That could be something. I don't know what you need to do out there, the HR leader people, right? Like to create that that risk environment, but dive right in, and because that's what really going to bring forth, you know, the leader that you want and the person you want. But go ahead, Aaron. Sorry.
No, that is so true. And I don't know if you know this fun fact. This show used to be called the Failed It Podcast. Like when it really started, we really leaned into failure. I might have told you all that. And
but it's a gift, right?
Yes. And so fail yeah. That would be a fail yeah for everybody listening. Go fail yeah it up. Okay.
Fail
I'm a
yeah.
fail fluencer.
Fail
fluencer. And I want y'all to take that. But okay, I wanna go back to this. What you talked about, John, with the flow state, like that just stuck out to me in such a beautiful way. And I have to tell you, this is a new principle that I've been living by probably for the past 3 or 4 years trying to, but like consciously trying, actively trying to flow versus push and pull. And I would love for you both to describe that definition of what flow state means to you, and either one of you take this, because it is so important to understand that difference of flow versus push. And not a lot of people listening might understand exactly what that means from a mindfulness practice. So can we define that? And how would you tell people to find it?
Well, I would, one thing, there's actually an acronym for flow, right? And this is from, we had Stephen Kotler on the show. He wrote, I Love Stealing Fire. Great book. Anybody out there?
Stealing Fire.
Fantastic. He has a bunch of other great books. The Art of Impossible, right? Great stuff. Great books. Great writer. Really engaging. But STIR is actually an acronym. Flow can be broken down into an acronym, S-T-E-R, right? And when you're in this S-T-E-R, right? So when you are in the state of flow, right? The experience you have, and then maybe John can, you know, you can talk about how to get into more of a flow state. But the experience of flow is selflessness, S, right? T is timelessness. So, you know, you're just outside the, everything just is, yeah. The other one is effortlessness, right? So you're just like, everything just comes so easily. And the lastness is richness. There's a certain like richness that your mind experiences and the physical experience. It just, there's another layer of life that kind of comes in when you're in the flow state.
That's it. We've
all felt the flow state. Yeah. I mean, we're in a form of flow right here as we're talking, right? We've tuned everything else out and we're in the moment right here. But coming back to Stephen Kotler, and even prior to him, who was known as the father of flow is Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, which if you asked me to spell that, I would murder it. But Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi wrote the book called Flow, and it's basically like in the zone, right? We've all been on, I don't know, maybe a basketball court where we've felt like we're in the zone and that state of flow, and you know, the defenders can't stop us. And as we shoot, we kind of envision that the ball is super small and the hoop is giant and it's really easy to get in. A lot of it can come from actually stretching yourself, like stretching yourself, but not snapping. So we're doing something that's super easy. You're most likely not going to get into the state of flow, like checking email, most likely not going to do it. But finding something that's just stretches you past your capabilities just slightly, that's going to force you to be in the zone, right? Like skiing. For me, I'm not a great skier, but I love doing it because it gets me into that state of flow and it forces me to tune everything else out. Surfers, you know, skydivers, those folks are doing it, yes, for the rush, but they're also doing it because it forces them to get into that moment. I mean, that's presence, right? I talked about presence at the very beginning. That is mindfulness. But then Stephen Kotler also breaks down basically five aspects. We'll mention some there, but curiosity is a big piece of it. You have to be curious. And I just got the thumbs up because I gave the thumbs up. So I guess the automated thumbs up just popped up. But there's curiosity, purpose, having a sense of purpose, then having passion for that, right? Like if you don't have passion for skiing, then you're probably not going to get in that state of flow for, you know, while you're skiing. And then having a sense of autonomy, wanting to be out and doing it yourself. And then finally, mastery. You may not have mastered it, but working towards that sense of mastery. So it's curiosity, purpose, passion, autonomy, and mastery is what Stephen Kotler and Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi talk about in getting into that state of flow. And that comes back to the very topic that we're talking about, is trust in yourself, trust in your teams. If you can get into that state of flow for yourself and inspire a team to get in that state of flow, trust is going to be there. It's going to be automatic. It's pretty powerful.
And it goes into what you're talking about with faith too. The more I feel like I'm flowing, the more things that I just let go of and surrender, the more things happen. It just is, it is such a beautiful practice. And it's like when I'm pushing and trying to control or trying to make things happen and I'm not letting go or overworking myself, which is the life I used to live, where I was just that 9 to 5, you know, 9 to 10 entrepreneur who thought I had to hustle and grind and like kill my nervous system. Yeah.
just 1 hour. You were just working 1 hour.
1 hour.
Yeah, exactly.
9 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Grinding for 1 hour.
1 hour, and it was really hard hour. It was a very hard 1 hour. Okay, I was sweating.
Boy, what kind of entrepreneur are you, Aaron? I don't know.
Yeah.
It is 1 hour.
You better watch out, because I was hustling for 1 hour, and now I flow for 10. Don't do that. It's the reverse. It's the reverse. But I will say, like, it is, it's true. Like, it's such a cool thing. And I think a lot of leaders, when it's so cool that you all preach that and you bring it into organizations and teams, because people don't understand it. It's one of those things that took me a long time to understand. So let me speak for myself, not the leader people. Okay. Speaking for a friend, me, I didn't understand it for a long time. I was like, what does this mean? And how do I do that? And it is a beautiful thing when you can find it within yourself, and it's an internal job. Nobody else can do it for you. You have to do it, right? So I love this. I have so many questions, and I'm just trying to boil it down to, like, what does the Improve It peeps need? If you had any practice that you could share with us, let's get one from each of you that is the most practical and accessible mindfulness technique that men or women can listen to and incorporate into their daily routines, especially during a busy work day, what would that one technique be, and can we do it?
I'll say it's one that we used in the SEAL teams, and in the SEAL teams we call that tactical breathing, just because it sounds cool. But in the real world, we call it box breathing.
Yes. Right?
And that's just basically inhaling for a count of four, holding for a count of four, exhaling for a count of four, holding for a count of four, and doing that four or five times. And that that very intentional breathing, one, it focuses you on the breathing, but two, physiologically, what's happening is you're tapping, or you're activating the vagus nerve, which in turn activates the parasympathetic side of the nervous system, which calms us down. So there is science behind it. It is not hippy dippy woo woo stuff. It actually does work for a reason. But that's one of my favorite go-tos in a pinch.
Me too. I freaking love it. And it's like, I started doing it and I was like holding my breath for 4 seconds, felt like a long time, but it actually is the most physiological calming thing that I could ever do for my body. And I got a shocking to no one. My nervous system was shot for a long time, and she's got a lot of energy. Okay.
But from it that just, 1 hour.
That one hour was work. Too much. It was too much. And there was a lot of coffee in the 1 hour. That box breathing is like the go-to for me too. So I love that. Okay. Will, what's yours?
I think, you know, if we can have, you know, from listening to the show, and I think also the dream we have as people that want to, you know, have create better people, better leaders, I think it's like, we need to move. Like, we need to honor our biology, right? We sit all day, right? And we sit all day at that chair. We're staring at that screen. Like, we begin to develop or like diminish our capacity, our human potential. Like, within that first couple hours, we are at like 50% of our capacity, right? But if we even just get up and match it with the breathing, get up and move a little bit, right? Just kind of shake your shoulders around. I wish like ever I see, you know, as John was talking about breathing and Aaron, your question, I was sitting in my head. I'm like, just imagine, you know, instead of the office being so like rigid, you know, everyone like dressing up and stuff like that, and have like more of like an embodied experience at the office, like every 30 minutes, every hour, right? People getting up, shaking out a little bit, moving, finding the breath, get accessing their biology, which accesses all this wonderful, you know, neurochemistry inside of us, and then getting back to work, you would see, you know, increases in productivity, innovation, creativity, all that stuff would go up because we're getting into our body. Like, we just forget, you know, because it's called mindfulness, which the mind, right, which is very important. But like, what helps to enhance the mind, right, is movement. And if you just move, just like, you know, you wanted to do this, Aaron, right? So we're going to do this. Yeah. You want to do this? Okay. So this is what I like
to
do.
I'm here for this.
All right, yeah. So we're going to get on our feet. Okay. And we're just going to simply, yeah, get on your, yes. We're doing this.
Okay.
We're
my whole setup here is going to go to poop. Okay.
Well, I can demonstrate. I can demonstrate if you
okay.
want
to. Okay.
You want me to demonstrate?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Let's see it.
So, I mean, we could just start by like bouncing the shoulders and really just getting our loose.
Yeah, but I'm bouncing up. You can stay. You can keep the feet on the ground and just get the shoulders moving. Right? Even shake out the wrist. And then take 5 breaths. You want to jump up? Good. In and out. Keep going. In. Jumping up and down. Shoulders are moving. One more breath. Inhale. Good, good, good. And then you can sit back down, right? And then you can do the box breathing, right? Because you can feel the agitation, yes, the excitement in our body. You can feel the heart rate up. You can feel, you know, with that heart rate moving through our body or pushing more blood into our body. It's like this is the opportunity that we can calm it down and focus with the box breath. I don't know if you want to do that, John, but go for it.
Yeah, I'll run through the box breath real quick. We'll do two, just in the interest of time, we'll do two cycles.
Okay.
So as you do this for more cycles, you're going to get more of a benefit from it. But two cycles really is really all it can take, I mean, in a pinch. So let's begin by exhaling all our breath, emptying your lungs. Now breathing in. 2, 3, 4. Hold. 2, 3, 4. Out. 2, 3, 4. Hold. 2, 3, 4. In. 2, 3, 4, hold, 2, 3, 4, out, 2, 3, 4, and finally hold, 2, 3, 4. And that's it. Two rounds, box breath. The reason they call it the box breath, if you're not watching and you're listening, is that first breath hold is the first edge of the box, or sorry, that first inhalation is the edge of the box. The breath hold is the top. Exhalation is the other edge, and that last hold is the bottom. Box breathing, real powerful and super easy to go to.
I loved both of those. I got my heart rate up with the movement. I calmed it down. You know what that was? Awakening my presence.
Oh my gosh.
What a great callback.
Wow.
Boom. What? Yeah. Y'all, that was insane. I love that. I feel very in my body. Oh, yeah. Boom.
There it is.
Boom.
There, coaster.
That was awesome. No, truly. And I hope everybody listening did that in their car, wherever you are. If you're listening in the shower, even more power to you. Like it is truly like it calms you. I feel more present in my body and myself. So, okay. This is just a quick, fun question. You have a playlist for mindfulness. You can only pick a song each to put on this playlist. Tell me your song and why.
I'm not afraid by Eminem.
Oh, I'm not afraid. Love it.
Listen to those lyrics. They are deep. Oh, they are profound. They, you know, he, whatever you want to overcome, it's all in there. He overcome his drinking problem, right? It's all in there. That song is brilliant, beautiful. It's very profound, very impactful. I love his delivery, but also there's so much kindness and self-love in that too. Anyway, that's what I'm going. Eminem, not afraid.
Oh,
who would have thought?
My God.
Kindness and love.
I know. I mean, like, man's a genius. Yes.
Good old, Marshall Mathers. Good old Marshall. Now, he is from Detroit. I went to high school in Detroit. Okay, so 313, we represent. Okay, John. What is yours?
I don't know that I have a particular song, but I have a particular artist, and it's anything by Lindsey Stirling. You know,
Stirling.
When she plays the violin, and I'm sure you've seen her. She bounces around and flies, and my gosh, she's got some of the most beautiful violin music. Which is funny because I think she went on, was it America's Got Talent or one of those, and the judges were like, you will never succeed, get off the stage. And now she is a huge, huge hit. So Lindsey Stirling, beautiful violin, and I can listen to anything of hers all day long.
Okay. Well, these things are going on my pre-event playlist tonight. That was a selfish question. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. I hope everybody goes and listens to Lindsey Stirling. Get in that flow. That's right. And when you flow, you let go.
Yes.
And then it's a good show.
What?
Okay. Final question. This we ask every guest. We say it and prove it that it is the thing that you bring to this world. It is the reason and the purpose that you are here to fulfill your soul's contract this is just, you know, a really great question. Like, what's the purpose of your life? John, what is your it? And then Will, I want to hear yours.
Yeah. What is my purpose? My purpose is purpose. My purpose is helping others find their purpose, helping myself find my purpose, just spreading the knowledge of the fact that we all do, in fact, have a purpose. So I think my purpose is purpose.
Love, love. Will, what is yours?
I mean, my purpose here is to help all humans. I just work with a lot of men to live happier and more harmonious lives. That's it. Find the tools, leverage the tools, practice the tools in order to live with more happiness and harmony. That's it.
Finding purpose on purpose. Okay. Yes. And finding that joy. Y'all are amazing. So we're going to put the link to, I'm going to put the link to the show that I was on so people can check that out. But then check out all the other links to the Men Talking Mindfulness podcast. We'll put that in the show notes. Tell everybody else where else they can find you, find your meditation classes, all those things.
Yeah, I mean, the really easy one, you can just text the letters MTM for Men Talking Mindfulness. Just text MTM to 33777. And that'll take you to our website. That'll take you to our link tree. That'll take you to our meditation course, our Instagram. It'll take you to all the things.
Yeah, all the things.
Love it.
Instagram, we're at mentalkingmindfulness.com. We're constantly, Erin has like 5 videos up there from our little time with her. So you can digest those little, you know, minute or less kind of videos with her. And we're starting like Meditation for Men. We have the podcast registered, so we're going to be populating that as well. So that's just an easy source for meditation practices out there too. So,
so freaking cool. And y'all are like the most fun, down to earth, giving to the greater collective Men Talking Mindfulness podcast that there ever is. I think there's only one.
There is only one.
So there is only one. So I would love for everybody to listen to this show, share their episode with somebody who needed to hear this today. That would be the key for me. I am so excited to keep in touch with y'all, support your work. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Erin.
Thank you so much. What a blessing. We appreciate you.
Namaste.
Namaste. Improve it, peeps. I could talk to these two all day. There's such a great energy between the two of them, and you can tell they really practice what they preach. And their energy, not only on the show that I did with them on their episode of Men Talking Mindfulness, but the energy they brought today is just pure, pure joy, love, acceptance. And I really felt their presence as well as their awakening. They have awakened themselves to what I call 5D living. They are out of the noise and the bustle of everything that society is trying to make us do here on Earth today. They are really rising above that and trying to help men specifically for the greater good. So here's your homework. If today's episode really spoke to you and you have a man in your life who could benefit from hearing it, please share this episode with them. That is my only ask, that you take today's show, you share it with somebody that needs to hear it. You can share it on your Instagram stories too, or wherever you use social media to share with your community. It is such an important conversation. So I hope we continue to share this knowledge and make a better, more mindful space, not only for men, but for every race here and gender and every human being alive. Okay, that's really what I meant to say. Every human being alive, because truly we allow ourselves to show up with masks on a lot of the time. And when we allow ourselves to truly have these real, raw, vulnerable conversations and show up as the version of us that we are put on this earth here to be, magic happens. We're in that flow state. And I would love to create more flow state for you in your life and for the people in it. So share this episode. Know I am rooting for you. I'm thinking of you. And just please keep improving, keep failing, because this world needs that very special it that only you can bring. I'll see you next time.
Podcast.